Hello and welcome to the Torah Simcha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Aviva Orlean, and today we will be studying Shmuel Beis, Perek Ches, the 8th chapter. Now, this chapter is not one of the most dramatic in terms of its storyline, but it is dramatic in the sense of reporting to us just how far-sweeping David HaMelech's kingdom became. He subdued enemies in the north, in the south, in the west, in the east, as far north as today's Syria. Pasuk Aleph tells us, the first Pasuk, Vayihi acharechein, it was after this, Vayach David es plishtim vayachni'im, and David struck the plishtim and he subdued them. Vayikach David es mesek ha'ama miyad the plishtim, and David took mesek ha'ama from the plishtim, and we'll talk about what this is in a moment. When the Pasuk tells us, Vayihi acharechein, it was after this, it was after the news that he received that he would not build the Beis HaMikdash. After this news, he continued to assume security, not just from the enemies from within, but from the bordering nations. Recall that we alluded in our last class as to one of the reasons that David was not able to build the Beis HaMikdash was because while he had security from within, there still were enemies from without. There still were other enemies that were around him that threatened him. We didn't talk a lot about it, but we did touch on it for a couple seconds. So here, there was tranquility from within, as the Pasuk tells us in Perek Zion in the 7th chapter, Pasuk 1, the Hashem heniach lo misaviv. Hashem gave him respite from his enemies from within. However, even though there were no immediate threats, there were still bordering nations that threatened Bnei Yisrael. So this entire parak is about David subduing very fierce enemies. We don't really see the details of these wars and the threats that David faced in the text itself, but in Tehillim, Perek Samach, Perek 60, David speaks of these wars with Edom, with Moab, Plishtim, and Aram, and he calls out to God in this parak not to abandon him, and he seems to be in dire straits, implying that these wars were most certainly a very trying time for David and his army, with the nations from every border threatening Am Yisrael. Does sound familiar, does it not? So David subdued the Plishtim. This was a very fierce enemy that had been in confrontation with the Jewish people since the time of the Shoftim. And he took control of a place called Meseg Ha'ama. And Rashi says this is referring to Gas. This was the Plishti stronghold or capital, and this was the place, the seat of power and a strategic location, so that if David had control of this area, he controlled the Plishtim. Mesek Ha'ama is a play on words, literally meaning the reins of an animal. It's the reins that controls the animal. So Mesek Ha'ama is referring to that strategic location that David subdued. After securing the southwestern border, David secures the southeastern border and takes control of Moab. The Navi describes how he basically used a lottery of sorts. It uses the word chevel. It could be that he used a rope to measure, but in any case, there was some sort of lottery where David made the men, the soldiers, lie down on the ground, and every two-thirds of the men he would kill and one-third he would keep alive, and they became servants to David, and they paid tax to him. With Moab, he dealt particularly harshly, having them lie on the ground. It was degrading, etc., because Moab had been very cruel to David. When David was on the run from Shaul, he sought a place of refuge for his parents and brothers and brought them to Moab. This is according to the Medrash. David, as a great-grandson of Rus HaMoaviyah, Rus coming from the royal house of Moab, thought that his family would be safe. But the Medrash, referring back to Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chaf Beis, Pasuk Dalet, Perek 22, Pasuk 4, the Medrash says that we see that David brought his family there, but we do not see that they actually left. And the Medrash extrapolates from this that they were actually killed at the hands of the king of Moab. One brother escaped. Moab, as we know, has a history of Bnei Yisrael. They were the ones that brought Bnei Yisrael to sin in Shittim, in the Midbar. And the Medrash alludes to this fact as well, that the full punishment could not be meted out in the Midbar after they got Bnei Yisrael to sin in the area of immorality, because David and Rus had not yet come from this nation. Therefore, at this point, David, as the ancestor of Moab, is the vehicle of punishment. So that's the way the Medrash looks at this incident with David and Moab. David then subdues Hadadezer ben Rehob, the king of Tsova. Hadadezer was on his way to control the area of the Euphrates. Some say it was actually David that was in that area, but in either case, there was a battle and a war between the two troops, two sides, and David was able to subdue Hadad-Ezer. So David is moving northeast towards the area of Syria. He took 1,700 horsemen and 20,000 foot soldiers, and he hamstrung 100 of the horses, which means he disabled the horses so that they would not be fit for military purposes or for running purposes. He took his cue from Yehoshua, who did this in one of his wars at the command of Hashem in one of the battles. This is recorded in Sefer Yehoshua. He took 100 chariots, and according to Rashi, this means the chariots each had four horses, so he took 400 horses for his own use. We do see that David was careful not to use all of the horses for his office as king. He disabled most of the horses. He only kept a few of them. And this is due to the commandments in the Torah, specifically for a king, lo yarbe lo susim. A king is prohibited from having an excessive amount of horses. The nation of Aram Damesek, which is northeast of Eretz Yisrael, but south, a little bit south of Aram Tzova, The king was Hadad-Ezer. Hadad-Ezer was the king of Aram Tzova. So we have Aram Damesek, who came to the aid of Hadad-Ezer. And David killed 22,000 men in that battle. And David appointed governors over the huge area of Aram. And the people of Aram became subservient to David. The end of Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. The Pasuk tells us, Vayosha Hashem es David b'chol asher halach. Hashem brought salvation to David everywhere that he went, telling us that in his wars he was successful, and that was because Hashem facilitated his success and Hashem was with him. Incidentally, there is discussion about these areas of land that David conquered, whether or not they had the legal status, the halachic status of Eretz Yisrael, which would impact mitzvos tluyos ba'aretz, those mitzvos, those commandments that were specific to the land. The Navi then continues to tell us that David takes golden shields or quivers from Hadad-Ezer's soldiers as part of the booty, and he brought these to Yerushalayim. So he used these medals and he put it in the treasury in Yerushalayim. I shouldn't say treasury. He actually, well, as we'll see later, he consecrated it for the use for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. He also took copper from those spoils and brought them to Yerushalayim as well. Toi, the king of Hamas, sends his son Yoram to David to make peace with David because Hadad-Ezer was Toi's enemy. So he brought precious metals as a tribute to David. And the Navi tells us that David took all of these precious metals along with the rest of the spoils from all of his past wars, and he dedicated it. He set everything aside for the purpose of the incredible building project that would not occur in his lifetime, but in his son Shlomo's lifetime, namely, of course, the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So David now, we are told, becomes renowned. When he returned from one of his wars with Aram, Rashi tells us that he was known to bury the dead of his enemies, an act that the people respected tremendously. It was an act that was very uncommon, particularly for ancient warfare. We are told that David subdued Edom in the southeast. Again, in Pasuk Yud Dalid, Pasuk 14, the Navi tells us again that Hashem facilitated salvation wherever he went. The end of the Pasuk, Vayosha Hashem es David b'chol asher halach. Pasuk Tes Vav, Pasuk 15, Vayimloch David al kol Yisrael, vayhi David oseh mishpat utzadaka l'chol amo. David ruled over all of Israel, and he did justice and kindness with his entire nation. We have been speaking about David as a warrior. We have been speaking about David as the singer of Tehillim. We also have to not forget that David was also a great Torah scholar, and he was also a judge in Beis Din. So he ensured that the judicial system was set up properly, that things were just, that there was morality, that there was a just court system. He enforced this, and he himself presided over the Beis Din. And the Rabag tells us that tzedakah means that David did extra kindness above and beyond what was expected. So in case we had any reservations about David's military campaigns, about whether or not they were considered appropriate or too aggressive, the Navi tells us that Hashem was with him and testifies to his righteousness in all of the decisions that he made thus far. By definition, if the Navi is telling us that Hashem was with him and Hashem facilitated success, by definition, that means that all of his decisions were appropriate. So David's greatness is characterized by mishpat and tzedakah. It is certainly not a coincidence that David describes Hashem's greatness with these characteristics as well. In Tehillim, Perek 89, Pasuk 15, Tzedek u'mishpat mechon kis'echa, David says of Hashem, righteousness and justice is the foundation of your throne. The Navi then continues to tell us that David is setting up his cabinet, or already was set up, but it's enumerating the members of his higher officials. Yoav ben Tseruya, who was David's nephew, was the general. Yehoshaphat ben Ahilud was the secretary or the chronicler. Now we know that Yoav and David had a complicated relationship. We know he was tended to be very impulsive, and he would actually killed Avner. But Yoav was the general, and he was David's right-hand man. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that the pasuk describing that David was able to do mishpat and tzedakah precedes the pasuk telling us that Yoav was in charge of the military. He was the general, in indicating that their relationship was very much connected. Each one's success was the result of the other, because due to the fact that Yoav took care of the matters relating to war, to the military, David was able to engage in the milchamto shel Torah, so to speak, in the wars, so to speak, of Torah, meaning that he was able to spend his time engaging in deep and penetrating study, which in turn provided the merit for Yoav to engage in warfare and be, successful in his military campaigns. We have Tzadok ben Achitov and Achimelech ben Evyasar were Kohanim, and Sraya was the scribe. Benayahu ben Yehoyada was the Kresi, the Haplesi, which seems to indicate special troops that were archers. It also, there are some explanations that it was the in charge of the Urim Betumim, but in any case, the pshat is that they were archers. Uvenei David, Kohanim Hayu, I'm sorry, that was Pasuk Yud Ches, the last Pasuk of our Perek, Pasuk 18. The sons of David were Kohanim. In this instance, it does not literally mean Kohanim or priests, but it means high officials. And it intimates that they were very much dedicated to the service of Hashem as well. Now, in conclusion, this Perek follows the seventh chapter, which discussed David's not being permitted to build the Beis HaMikdash. However, even though he was not able to build the Beis HaMikdash, all of the spoils from his wars he consecrates for the use of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, as we have just read. In addition, we also see that Hashem's promise to David has come to fruition in this perek. If we recall back in Perek Zion, in the seventh perek, Pasuk Tes, Hashem promises David many things. One of them is, Veheye imach b'chol asher halachta. That's in Pasuk 9. I will be with you wherever you go. And we see in our perek, Vayosha Hashem es David b'chol asher halach. Hashem brought salvation to David wherever he went. Furthermore, we see a promise, Va'achris es kol ayvecha. God will cut off all your enemies. We see that David's enemies were subdued. Furthermore, we see Va'asisa l'chashem. Hashem promises him this in Perek Zion. Hashem will make his name great. What do we see in our perek? Vayas David shame. David achieved security in his kingdom. His national as well as his international issues seem to be under control. Thank you for studying. Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.